What is good, everybody? Man, it's been a minute since I've been on. Not just been a minute since I've been on. It's been a minute since I've been on and actually got to talk some NBA hoops. So got a great show lined up for you guys. We're going to talk NBA playoff pictures. We're going to talk about the Lakers and their mess going on. We're going to talk about Joel Embiid and Giannis matchup yesterday. And we're going to have a fun, good time with this podcast episode. But before I continue into this podcast / stream, you know I got to run my intro. I'm going to run my intro, and we're going to get this thing on and popping. Let's get it. I want to start things off talking about the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler came out and said some things. I don't know if it's true, but I heard that Jimmy Butler was saying that the Miami Heat are a team to watch, a team. He's putting the NBA on notice. He's telling, hey, everybody, Miami Heat can beat anybody, and we're going to be a tough out. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say it in those exact same words, but I'm paraphrasing. Now, Jimmy Butler's a great player. Miami Heat are a good team, but I don't know if they're a great team. They've been number one for most of the year, but in the Eastern Conference, things continue to change. You'll see the Celtics, they're number one, then the Heat are number one. And there was even a time that, you know, Milwaukee was pushing and Sixers were pushing. The Brooklyn Nets were supposed to be that team, but then now they're struggling to get into that playoff push. But this is going to be a fun episode. I'm going to pull up the standings of where people are right now. We're just going to dive in. I do like the Miami Heat. I do think that they're a pretty good team, but do they really have anybody for Joel Embiid or Giannis? I think, in my opinion, that the Milwaukee Bucks are the best team in the East. I could be wrong, but that's just how I feel about this situation. Whoa. So as I'm pulling up the standings, I see something in baseball. I see that the St. Louis played Washington, and it was 29-8. A baseball score, 29-8? That's crazy. We're going to talk about that in another episode, but that's just wild. I just had to go ahead and talk about that real quick. 29-8, a baseball score? That's nuts. But anyways, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. We're going to get this thing on and popping. So if you guys are watching the replay, you know, be sure to let me know in the comment section, who do you guys think win the East? Do you guys think that the standings remain the same as you know, as the season goes on? So we have the Miami Heat. They are 48-28. And if you look between 4-1, 1-4, it's separated by a game or a half a game. This is insane. The Milwaukee Bucks could still end up as the top seed in the East. And I think they will. I think the Bucks have the best team, and they proved it last night. You know what I'm saying? Giannis has proved that he's still the MVP of this league. I mean, Milwaukee's still proving that they're the best team in the East. Now, the team to me that has come out of nowhere, to be honest, is the Boston Celtics. They're 8-2 in the last 10 games. Boston is looking pretty good right now with a 47-29 record. And then you have Philly at number 4 at 46-29. Between any of these four teams, either one of these teams can end up with the number one seed. To be honest, I don't know who gets number one. I can't say that it's Milwaukee or Celtics or Boston or Miami. All I'm saying is that Miami, they're good, but they're beatable. I mean, Miami's 4-6 in their last 10 games. I mean, it is what it is. You know, it's all about matchups. It's all about who you play. And I'm telling you guys, home court advantage is going to be very important. So as the season winds down, what is like 8-9 games left, whichever one of these four teams that have the best record, that has the home court advantage, would be, you know, most likely the team to beat. So I don't know who gets that home field. That home court advantage. You have the Chicago Bulls, who are 44-32. The Bulls, they are frauds. They're fakes. Everybody was hype on the Bulls to begin the season. You know, they were the darling team. You had DeRozan playing out of his mind, MVP candidate at the time. I love what the Bulls have done this season, but I mean, they're looking like a first round exit. I don't see the Bulls beating any one of these four teams. The only good thing about the Bulls is that they do have a very good center in the middle that can match up with Joel Embiid and possibly Giannis. I'm not saying that he's going to stop them, but I'm saying that he is a force. You know, he's a force, and I mean, he's a guy in the middle. The average is 20 and 10 most nights. So then you move down to the Toronto Raptors. They've clinched a playoff spot. They will not be in that play-in, so they're going to be – they can't finish no less than number six is what I'm saying. Toronto, they are a team – I'm not going to say that they're going to make any noise, because can the Toronto Raptors really beat the Boston Celtics or the Milwaukee Bucks or even the Miami Heat? Possibly not. But they do have a shot, okay? So you look at the Raptors, young talent. Scottie Barnes, man, he is amazing. He could possibly be the rookie of the year. I mean, if you're considering winning record and impact on the team, you might go Scottie Barnes. But, I mean, they're loaded. They have tons of guys. When healthy, Van Vliet. Gary Trent Jr., they have shooting. They have length. Now, they don't really have size in the middle, because they play, like, you know, slender guys like Boucher and even Pascal Siakam. Those guys are good. Very, very, very good players. But when you're playing against a Joel Embiid or a Giannis, I don't think they have a guy that can guard either one of those two guys. Now, we move on to the number seven seed, which is the Cleveland Cavaliers. There was a time that the Cavs had a top four record, and everybody was excited for the Cavs. And look, make no mistakes about it, the Cavs have done something great this season. There's a possibility that the Cavs could possibly miss the playoffs in general, because if the Brooklyn Nets stay right now at as the eighth seed, they're going to play the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? They play them in order to get that seventh seed. But if, you know, if the Cavs do lose, right, then they'll play the winner of the 9 and 10 matchup. And don't be surprised if a hot ATL team gets a chance to knock out the Cavs. I believe the Hawks can knock out the Cavs, just because the Hawks do have the experience. The Hawks were in the playoffs last year. So these play-in, like, you guys have seen that I've discredited the Charlotte Hornets. I'm sorry. I just don't see nothing. I see no spark. I see there's not a talent that can carry that team to wins. At least we know that Trae Young, when he's on his game, can carry the Hawks to wins, multiple wins in the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to win a series, but we know what Trae Young can do. I can't say the same thing about the Charlotte Hornets. They don't have that guy right now that can carry that team. LaMelo Ball is great, you know, all-star, young player, but he's just not there. He's not on Trae Young's level just yet. Okay, now, so possibly ATL has to play Charlotte, right? I think it's what, best two out of three? However the play-in works, this is a weird format. Winner takes all, or one game, and then you play the eighth seed, or the seventh seed has, whatever. Either way it goes, it's going to be a play-in, and I can see the Hawks possibly getting the eighth seed, and I can see Brooklyn getting the seventh seed. That's just what I see. But I don't know if it's the 8 and 9 playing the – I think 7 plays 8, then the winner becomes 7. Then 8 has to play the winner of 9, 10. 9 and 10 have to win twice versus number 8 in order to clinch the playoffs. So I can definitely see the Atlanta Hawks beating the Cleveland Cavaliers two times to secure that final spot. Now, here's what the matchups could look like. You could have the Hawks – playing a team like Milwaukee. But you know what I would love to see? I would love to see another matchup between the Hawks and the Sixers. That would be a great first-round matchup. It's unfinished business. And I think if the Sixers do play the Hawks, it's going to be a sweep, because the Sixers remember what Trae Young did to them last year. Now, you can see a potential matchup, a 7-2 matchup between the Brooklyn Nets and the Miami Heat. Or the Brooklyn Nets versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Brooklyn remembers what the Bucks did to them last year. But at the end of the day, I think that Brooklyn is just an uphill climb. Whether they win a series, I think based off of the right matchup, the Brooklyn Nets can definitely advance in the second round. But who do they better match up with? Brooklyn Nets and Celtics will be a great matchup. You have Tatum and Brown versus Kyrie and, you know, KD. You have Bruce Brown Jr. I mean, I think that's a great matchup. It's because it's just, you know, a matchup full of wings. Wings on both sides outside of Brooklyn having that guy in Kyrie. That's a bad man. Man, Hawk, man, appreciate you hopping on the stream. Says, Manny, the Lakers, man. Yeah, I'm going to get to the Lakers in a minute, man. The Lakers are trash. They're ultra, ultra trash right now. And I don't think the Lakers make the playoffs. But we're going to talk about the Lakers in just a minute. Says, at least we got everyone else. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy right now in the NBA. So this is pretty much my prediction for the East. I think that those last two spots go to Brooklyn and ATL. I could be wrong. I'm definitely going to be coming back once the season is over to talk about my predictions to see if, you know, those two teams actually did make it. Now, we scroll down to the Western Conference. You have Phoenix. You have to start to give Phoenix their respect. You know, last year, being a salty Lakers fan, I said that, you know, Phoenix Suns weren't that good. You know, Lakers would have beaten them with a healthy AD. And that might have been true. That might have been true. Because at that point, Phoenix hasn't really reached that next level, which they've reached now. They've gotten to the finals. I always go back and I say, what you do in the playoffs today or this year is definitely going to help you out next year. And you guys are going to see what I mean when I talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, Hawk says, my favorites to come out the East and the West is the Bucks versus the Suns. Most definitely, I can definitely see that. I can definitely see that. I think that'll be a great matchup. So the Suns, they've shown that they can win with or without Chris Paul. They're the best team. They're deep. What the Suns were able to do this year was to add guys like Bismack Biyombo and JaVale McGee in centers like that. So that way you're not playing Frank Kaminsky as your backup center. DeAndre Ayton has taken a step. Bridges has taken a step. Cam Johnson. Even that backup point guard that I can't stand. I can't think of his name right now. But the Suns are very, very good. They're very, very solid. Nobody's catching the Suns. They've clinched the number one overall seed as it is. They just have to continue to win to have home court advantage. Now, the team I want to talk about before I get to the Grizzlies is the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors were the best team in the NBA when the season started. Everybody was excited. It was Steph Curry this, Draymond Green that, Klay Thompson is coming back, James Wiseman is coming back, and the Iguodala, and this and that. Rightfully so, when that team is healthy, the Warriors are one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best team. All things considered, injuries happened. Steph Curry is out. Obviously, you can't expect them to keep that level of play without Steph Curry. He's the catalyst of that team. He goes, the Warriors go as far as Steph Curry goes. I'm going to go ahead and say that. So we don't know when Steph is coming. I mean, Steph Curry is coming back, but he's a big part of that team. He's vital. Right now, if the season ended today, the Golden State Warriors will be playing the Denver Nuggets. And that's a matchup you do not want. The Denver Nuggets have been playing really, really well, and Nikola Jokic is still Jokic. Like, Golden State has nobody on that team that can guard him right now. Had they had Wiseman, maybe Wiseman helps. Draymond Green's going to do his best, but come on. Jokic can turn around and throw that ball over Draymond Green's head, okay? Now, let's talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. They are a team that has taken a league by storm. They already clinched the playoffs. They're most likely going to clinch that number two seed. I don't see them losing five games like the rest of the way. The Memphis Grizzlies are locked in at number two. I can see a potential where the Memphis Grizzlies get to the finals. I know it sounds crazy, but I always talk about what players have done or what teams have done the year prior. The Memphis Grizzlies took the Utah Jazz to the brink last year in the first round. Memphis Grizzlies are a team full of dogs. When Ja Morant is healthy, Ja Morant is even an MVP candidate. Ja Morant is even possibly the best point guard in the league right now. He's just that good. But what the Grizzlies have been able to do, they are 9-1 in the last 10 games. So they're showing you that they can win games without Ja Morant, which is very, very dangerous. If the Phoenix Suns are missing Chris Paul and the Memphis Grizzlies are missing Ja Morant, the Grizzlies will be automatically better than the Phoenix Suns. That's just my opinion. It's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But when you add Ja Morant to this team is young, the team is explosive, They have guards. They have wings. They have shooting. Shout out to Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane has been killing it. Desmond Bane should be the most improved player this year, in my humble opinion. Desmond Bane was exactly what the Grizzlies needed. Like, he took a whole nother step. When DeLon Brooks was out all year with injury, Desmond Bane took his game to the next level. Now, DeLon Brooks have come back, right? And what has he done? He's just added to what the Grizzlies are already doing. DeLon Brooks is a dog, man. The guy is their best defender. Not only can he defend, I mean, the guy can score. So when you look at the Grizzlies, right, you have 27 points a game by John Morant. That's amazing. 27.6 points a game. That's amazing for a point guard that can definitely score but also get his team involved. Then you have Desmond Bane at 18.2 points a game. DeLon Brooks, like I said, he's only played 28 games, but that's 18 points a game. Those are your top three guys right there. And DeLon Brooks, he's an undersized small forward, but he holds his own. He's a strong wing player that can defend multiple positions. But a player that nobody really talks about on the Grizzlies is DeAnthony Melton. This guy has moved leaps and bounds. This guy right here, he's amazing. He's a point guard slash shooting guard, a combo guard. Got some size on him. I believe he's like 6'5". I mean, the guy has been amazing all year. So the games where John Morant is out, he stepped in and provided a scoring punch. You have Jaren Jackson, who's a nice power forward, and he's top five in blocks in the league with 2.3. So you have that defense in Jaren Jackson, that size, and he can also stretch the floor and shoot that three. Then you have Brandon Clarke, who's like the perfect kind of small forward, power forward coming off the bench. He does his job. Then you have Tyus Jones at point guard. Look, this team is so deep. And even Zaire Williams started 28 games while DeLon Brooks was out. Tell you guys, the Grizzlies are stacked top to bottom. Then you have Kyle Anderson, right? He steps in, does his thing. Then you have Stephen Adams. So I've counted what? How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10. We're not even talking about John Conchar and Xavier Tillman and the rest of these guys. Grizzlies are for real. I'm trying to tell y'all. Grizzlies are for real. They have everything that you need. Stephen Adams is averaging 10 rebounds a game. He's a legit center. He's as legit as it comes, man. This is sad that I'm doing this live, but hey, it is what it is. I get excited when I talk hoops. And I get excited when I talk Grizzlies basketball. I'm just here to tell y'all that the Grizzlies, I believe that they're good. I believe that they're borderline better than the Phoenix Suns. But we'll see if – let's just see what happens in the playoffs. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. I believe the Grizzlies are a deeper team than the Phoenix Suns. But the Phoenix Suns do have Devin Booker and Chris Paul. So let's see what happens. I think that's going to be that Western Conference final between these two teams. I don't think that Golden State makes it to that matchup just for the simple fact that Steph Curry, we don't know if he's going to be healthy or not. Draymond Green is coming off of injury. James Wiseman gone. Things have not gone well for the Golden State Warriors. Now we move on to the fourth team in the West as we look at it today, and that's the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks made that one trade. They said, Kristaps Porzingis, you got to go. You're not giving us the level of production that we need. Not only that, your best ability should be availability, and Kristaps Porzingis is never available. He's never available. So what do? They traded him. They traded him for Davis Bertans, who's a shooter. He's been shooting terrible. And then Spencer Dinwiddie, who's a combo guard that can score. Spencer Dinwiddie has been phenomenal. Has been phenomenal for these guys. That's all Spencer Dinwiddie does is just be phenomenal. So that look, Luka is playing unbelievable. If the Dallas Mavericks were a top two, maybe you can even say top three, Luka should be in the MVP running. But for the fact that, you know, there's other guards above him with better records like John Moran and even Chris Paul and Devin Booker, I don't know. But Luka is a dog, man. Luka is special. He's special. He's the guy that can go out there and get you 45 points, 18 rebounds, and 17 assists and act like nothing happened. He's just that good. He's just that good. He's unguardable. You have these players that are unguardable that can will you to multiple wins in the playoffs just by himself. Luka Doncic is one of them kind of guys. So the Mavericks, look, They're going to be a dangerous team. They're going to be a dangerous team. I don't even know who they match up with. But if they do match up against the Jazz, I have to give the nod to the Mavericks. The Mavericks have been more consistent than the Utah Jazz this year. The Utah Jazz, after having that number one seed last year and failing to get to the finals, this year they're at number five. And don't be surprised in this offseason if you see the Utah Jazz move a lot of their players, just because something is just not quite right. Is it Mike Conley? Is it Donovan Mitchell? You can't move Donovan Mitchell, of course. Gobert is one of the top defenders in the league. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? So Utah Jazz are in right now at number five. Number six, you have the Denver Nuggets, who, as long as you have Nikola Jokic, all things are possible. You know, Jamal Murray may come back, but I doubt it. I doubt he even comes back. What's the other guy? Young kid. Can't think of the young kid's name, but yeah, Denver Nuggets are just one of those teams that can possibly push a team to possibly a six-game series in the first round with a chance to win, but I just don't see how they beat a team. Well, if they play in Golden State and Golden State is not healthy, then hey, it could go 6-7, possibly Denver, possibly Golden State. So, you know, it's a toss-up. It's just all about matchups in the playoffs. Now, we get to the bottom part of this Western Conference. You have the Minnesota Timberwolves at number seven. Shout out to the Timberwolves. I think this is the year that they finally make the playoffs. Now, wilder things have happened. For the Timberwolves to miss the playoffs, they'll have to lose to the Clippers. And then they'll have to lose to either New Orleans, San Antonio, or the Los Angeles Lakers twice. I don't see that happening. So I'm going to pencil in the Timberwolves into the playoffs. Don't make me look bad, Timberwolves. All they did was they added guys like Patrick Beverley, and then they already had their big three in Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, and obviously D'Angelo Russell. It's worked out well for them. That D'Angelo Russell and Patrick Beverley backcourt has been amazing. It's been amazing. So shout out to Timberwolves. I don't know what they do in the playoffs, but a 7-2 matchup between the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, that would be fun. I would love to see Patrick Beverley versus John Morant for 6 or 7 games in the playoffs. That would be like, get your popcorn ready. That would be like some amazing matchup. Got the hiccups now. Give me 1 second. Get some water. Now, we get to the 8th seed, which is the Clippers. The Clippers were able to come back last night versus Utah Jazz. And with Paul George being healthy, playoff P. Y'all know about playoff P. Sometimes he's on, sometimes he's off. But the Clippers could definitely be a dangerous team the rest of the way. They can. I hate the Clippers with a passion, but if you have a healthy Paul George, like, Clippers have stayed afloat all year. They've been right there all year. Ty Lue has shown that he's a great coach. He did a great job coaching with no Paul George, no Kawhi, and to still be where they are right now, which is a solid 8th seed, you got to give them props. So you look at New Orleans, San Antonio, Lakers. It could go either way for these three teams, but the Lakers have the second hardest schedule the rest of the way. I don't think the Lakers make it. The game tomorrow night, there's not going to be AD. AD's trying to come back on Saturday or Sunday or something like that, sometime this weekend. So no AD, no LeBron. You're playing against the Utah Jazz, who's pissed off right now. I don't see how the Lakers win that game. And I think they played Denver twice. The rest of the schedule is just pretty, pretty awful. It's pretty, pretty bad. I don't think the Lakers are doing anything. So Lakers are most likely out. So do you shut down LeBron? Do you shut down AD and just, you know, try to trade Russell Westbrook in the offseason and try to go at it again? I think where the Lakers messed up was they brought in the wrong personnel. Frank Vogel's defense has not been great this season. So with all things considered, you can see a lot of changes in that Lakers organization. A new coach, Vogel, is gone. You have a team of talented offensive players, and you cannot generate some kind of consistent offense. It's not even been the defense this year. It's been the offense. They can't score, and when they do score, it's like your lineups. You have Austin Reeves and, you know, Stanley Johnson on the court at the same time with Winnie and Gabriel. That's your energy group. But then it's like, where's the scoring coming from? And you have Westbrook, who, you know, at times with the turnovers, the bad shooting, but Westbrook has played his best basketball this month since he's been a Laker. So you can't blame Westbrook. Somebody is to blame. Is it Rob Pelinka in that front office? They were not able to put together a competent team, and now they are the 11th seed on the outside looking in with seven games left with the toughest schedule to go. San Antonio, I don't know what they do. It's a possibility that San Antonio and the Lakers fight for that 10th spot. Let's say the Lakers somehow end up with the 10th seed. They have to beat New Orleans two times to then get into the opportunity to now, or 10 plays 9, the winner plays the winner, I mean the loser of the 7-8 matchup. So it can be a potential Minnesota versus Lakers. The Lakers have to beat Minnesota two times with Patrick Beverly huffing and puffing and angry and this and that. Yeah, I don't know how that pans out for the Lakers, but as of right now, it's just shut down LeBron, shut down AD, and just regroup in the summer and then see what happens. The teams that never really had a chance, obviously the Houston Rockets and the OKC Thunder, these two teams are possibly going to be top three lottery picks this year. Sacramento Kings, another year of not making the playoffs. Like, what is going on? You make some changes in the organization and you're still where you are. You bring in Sabonis, Sabonis is hurt. You trade away Tyrese Haliburton, and you still are where you are. When will the Kings ever make the playoffs? They remind me of the Timberwolves. These are just those teams that just kind of just stick around. And then when they're in the lottery, they don't draft well. They draft best available. But what's the point of the Sacramento Kings drafting 18 guards? They draft a guard every single year. Guard, 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 guard. And then when they draft a big man like Bagley or DeMarcus Cousins years past, they treat him bad. And then they end up getting rid of those guys. So the Kings, they have some serious issues. They're not doing really, really well at all. But the matchup of the day last night, got to get to this matchup. That was the matchup between the 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks. It was a lot of talks about, you know, the Sixers taking that next step, you know, trying to knock out the Bucks, move up in the standings. But at the end of the day, people forget that Giannis Antetokounmpo is a bad man. Giannis is still the best player in the league right now. And I say that with a straight face. Giannis had 40 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks with the game-clinching block versus Embiid to tie the game. Game-saving block. Giannis Antetokounmpo is saying, look, that block might have cost Joel Embiid the MVP. There's no way that you give the MVP but there's no way that you give Embiid the MVP after this performance by Antetokounmpo. Now, when you compare what he's done against Embiid in this game head-to-head, Joel Embiid had 29 points, okay, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, no blocks. So he had a very good game, but it wasn't a monster game like Giannis had. And what I like about Giannis is that he continues to improve his free throw shooting. He shot 7 for 10 last night. He made it down the stretch when it mattered. He was 1 for 3 from 3. So he's becoming a better three-point shooter. Obviously, he dunks the ball. He lays in the ball. I mean, his rebounding is elite. He passes the ball. He blocks shots. There's nothing that Giannis cannot do. And if Giannis gives us one of those tight performances that he gave us last year in that playoff run or that game in the finals, that game-clinching game, man, I'm telling you, Giannis is – he's still a problem. He's still a problem. He's still got Middleton. They got Brook Lopez back, and he's an underrated center. 17 points, 3 rebounds. Look, Brook Lopez, he's a big piece. And mind you, he has not played most of the season. So he's fresh. He has fresh legs heading into the playoffs. This could be dangerous for the rest of the league. If you're getting 17 points out of Brook Lopez, you're most likely going to win your games. Then you have Jrue Holiday. He's going to come in there. He's going to play defense. He's going to rebound. He had 8 rebounds. He had 10 assists. Jrue Holiday is still a very good player. High caliber player. High IQ. Great character, all that good stuff. Then the Bucks added Serge Ibaka. And then they have Bobby Portis. So now you have 3 centers. And these 3 centers can shoot the 3. They all can block shots and they all can play defense. So based off of who's hot, you're going to see different rotations. You're going to see a lineup where you have Bobby Portis playing the four, which I think Bobby's is more of a four. Brooke Lopez at the five and then Giannis at the three. We know that Giannis can play multiple positions, including point guard if he has to, point forward. So the Bucks are still the best team. And shout out to my guy, Jordan Warren, at the end of the bench. His first year as a rookie, you know, got to win the title, played for Team Nigeria. His dad and my dad are very good friends. So shout out to the fam, Jordan Warren. Great player. He's going to be an even better player as the years go on. Pat Connaughton, underrated guy. He's been out with injury. When he comes in, he does the dirty work. He does whatever that needs to be done. He can shoot the ball. He's a pretty good rebounder for his position. We look at the Sixers. The only thing that scares me about the Sixers is that bench. Who's going to step up? We know who the big three are. And that's Joel Embiid, James Harden, and Tyrese Maxey. Yes, I put Tyrese Maxey over Tobias Harris. But Tobias Harris had a great game last night. 22 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. So if Tobias Harris can give you this kind of production moving forward, you have a possibility of having 4 20-point scorers on most nights in the playoffs. And that's a good thing. But this team is so top-heavy that the rest of the role guys, Matisse Thybulle, he's going to come out there. He's going to defend. He's going to make things hard for the opposing, you know, offensive player. Then you have guys like Millsap. What does he really have in the tank? Danny Green. He's a streaky shooter. You know, he played good last night, 3 for 5. But how many games are you going to get 3 for 5 from three from Danny Green? Played 23 minutes. Then Georges Niang, I think that's how you say his name. He had 9 points. So he steps in. He shoots a little bit. Shake Milton. He's just been so bad this year. DeAndre Jordan, Korkmaz, just a bunch of Jags. Just a bunch of Jags on the bench. With all due respect, I don't know. I think that's their Achilles heel, that bench. When you play some of these deeper teams, some of these teams that are, that can score like crazy, if James Harden and Embiid, if they're not scoring 30 points a game in most games, they're not going to win a lot of games. James Harden is great. Embiid is great. Maxey took a step this year, but, had a bad game. Maxey can't have games like this. He can't have 7 points. Like, they need Maxey to be 15 to 18 points a game in the playoffs for them to have any level of success. I do think that the Sixers could possibly get to the finals. They're that good. I do think that Embiid could possibly still win the MVP this year, regardless of what Giannis has done. But let's see what happens. Scenario where the Sixers finish number one seed. They might look at winning and reward Joel Embiid over Giannis. But we'll see what happens, because the numbers don't lie. Men and women lie, but numbers don't lie. So we'll see what happens there. That was a great, great matchup. I just wanted to kind of get on here, talk some NBA hoops. It's been a minute since I've been able to come on. If you're new to the channel, please like, please subscribe, please share. If you're listening to this podcast on the podcast form, please subscribe to Talking Sports with Manny podcast on Apple, Spotify for more content such as this. I will be doing more NBA hoop talks as the playoffs progress. Feels good to just come back and talk something other than football or something other than Washington Commanders football. So this is your guy, Manny. This is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel, and this is the Talking Sports with Manny podcast. I will catch you guys on the next episode. Y'all be blessed. I'm out. Peace.